Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Really excited about our next guest. Anytime I have the opportunity to talk boxing here on the show, you know I jump all over that. But today we have an opportunity to talk old school boxing and dig into the history of some of the most well-known heavyweights to ever grace the sport. Joining us over the phone, we have Paul Betson, who is the author of the new book, The Boxing Kings, When American Heavyweights Ruled the Ring. It's in stores right now. So excited to have Paul on to talk a bit about this book and to dive in to some of the history of the heavyweights that are mentioned throughout. Paul, a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking out the time to join us.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So we do talk a lot of boxing, obviously, here on Drive Time Sports, but your particular book is centered around when heavyweights ruled the world of boxing. I mean, obviously, we just talked about, a super middleweight contest between Canelo Alvarez and Triple G. We've talked about the welterweight division a lot with guys such as Pacquiao and Mayweather, as they have ruled the boxing world. We don't have that right now in the world of heavyweights. We have a couple of guys that have kind of pushed the division, but your book centers around when heavyweight boxing was it. It was the main attraction.
Yes, and especially from the American perspective, and that's really the key to the book there, is that the heavyweight division was always the flagship of boxing in the United States. In other countries, it doesn't necessarily always have to be. You know, in Latin America, they have so many great fighters, at the lower weights. The heavyweight division is not as important there. But in the United States, traditionally, while Americans, when boxing was at its peak, Americans liked a lot of different weights, but they really set stock by the heavyweight division. And for most of the period that my book covers, which is over a century, almost every heavyweight champion was an American, with just a few exceptions. And so it was really the flagship of the sport of boxing, and these guys were household names, as the saying goes.
Now, before we dive into the book, Paul, I want you to go ahead and give us a background on your boxing history and what actually persuaded you to write a book about the heavyweights that we'll talk about here in just a moment.
Sure. Well, this is an old passion of mine, going back to boyhood. I was growing up in the mid-late 70s and early 80s, and that was a time in which boxing was in a better place, at least in terms of its public appeal. It was the late days of Muhammad Ali's career, so I caught the end of that, and Larry Holmes came in, and there were also these great lower-weight fighters from Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler to Roberto Duran, Alexis Arguello, and the thing about it was they were all on TV. They were on regular TV, very different from today where, just like the fight you mentioned, Canelo fight was on pay-per-view, and most of the fights are on pay-per-view. Back then, while the biggest fights were, closed-circuit television, a lot of very good fights, championship fights, were just on regular television on Saturday afternoon. And that just drew in a lot of, a generation of kids my age to boxing. And it just drew me in. I mean, I liked all the regular major sports, but the individuality of boxing, it was always just tremendously appealing to me. And I found myself in the library bringing books home, histories of boxing, and reading about people like Jack Dempsey from the 20s, and just fascinated. His whole life was kind of like an adventure tale, traveling on freight trains and working in coal mines and fighting in saloons. And it was just very, very vivid, and it really captured me and took a hold on me and didn't let go.
And just for perspective for the listeners out there, I mean, your book actually covers a variety of different eras. I mean, we're talking about everything from Jack Johnson all the way up to Mike Tyson to Evander Holyfield. I definitely found the most interesting section of this book for me was the division, the time of the division that I grew up in. And the first ever boxing fight that I remember sitting down and watching, I'm obviously a lot younger, was Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield 1. And you actually touched on everything, again, from Jack Johnson up to Holyfield. Golden Bow. I mean, you touched on everything from basically the end of the 90s when the heavyweight division kind of started to sink a bit.
Yeah, it's about a 120-year period overall, because it started in the late 19th century. So it's when the heavyweight title really got going, and then the periods are very distinct. I mean, and the the boxing kings, you know, the top guys, the guys who really stand out, are the guys who are not only great champions, but they seem to represent their era in a certain way. So Dempsey in the 20s was such a big part of the Roaring 20s sports culture, and he was right there with Babe Ruth, and people forget that today, but he was every bit as famous as Babe Ruth. He made more money in one fight, almost more money in one fight than Ruth made in his entire career playing baseball, and it's just incredible to think of that. Joe Louis in the 30s and 40s, Marciano in the 50s, Ali in the 60s and 70s. These were guys who weren't just winning fights in the ring, but they got through to people, and they represented other kinds of social trends, whether they're political trends, racial trends, moods of the country that seemed to be reflected in them. And right up into the 90s, with, as you said, with Tyson and Holyfield, and that was the last real era in the heavyweights where Americans were walking around talking about this stuff, saying, I can't wait to see this Saturday night. I'm going to be there.
Again, we're being joined right now by Paul Beston. He's the author of the book, The Boxing Kings, When American Heavyweights Ruled the Ring. And again, it is now available as of September 16th. This book is available. Paul, let's start by talking about some of the heavyweights that you really take a deep look at. Jack Johnson, Jack Dempsey, Joe Louis, Rocky Marciano, Muhammad Ali, and of course, Mike Tyson. These are polarizing names with the sport of boxing, not even just within the heavyweight division, but with boxing in general. Out of the names that I listed, any of those stand out to you as the most intriguing individuals that you were able to research and kind of delve into?
Well, those guys are all pretty interesting. You know, Muhammad Ali really is a special case because, you know, when I was doing this book, I was making lists for myself of kind of, you know, there's a vast boxing library, a vast boxing bibliography, a lot of chronicling, and biographies of most of the major guys, and in most cases, several different good biographies of these guys. But when I say several, I mean three or four. When you get to Ali, you're talking about dozens and really probably hundreds and maybe a few thousand books overall written about him. I didn't even, obviously can't attempt to even cover that many, but I did find myself making a list of really a comprehensive list of the important books about Ali that I couldn't afford not to read. And it was, you know, it was several dozen. And that was just very daunting, very different than the other guys. Not that there isn't a lot written about them, but as I said, there are a handful of really authoritative books on a Jack Johnson or a Dempsey or Joe Louis, and you can get to those. But Ali is a very daunting task to get your arms around all of him. And there's just so much to cover, and that was the challenge in writing about him. Jack Johnson is another one. He's I think, really probably the most complex of all of these figures. He came around at a time in the early 20th century when the racial climate was just terrible in the United States. I mean, there were lynchings going on. The racism was right in the popular press. I mean, you can read the old newspaper stories, the way he's written about, the language you use, would make your hair stand up. So he was operating in an environment that was just incredibly adverse for a black athlete. And yet he was this very individualistic and bold and defiant man who was really apparently to all sights fearless, unafraid of provoking white anger and resentment. And yet deep down it's really hard to understand sometimes what he was really thinking or motivated by. He wasn't a traditional, you know, he kind of been elevated. Ken Burns made a documentary about him about 10 years ago, and it's kind of elevating him into kind of a hero of racial equality and that kind of thing. And it just doesn't really seem like that really was what was motivating him. I think he was just such an individualist. He just couldn't be bothered with silly ideas and attitudes. He was a person who saw beyond race and wanted to live his life the way he wanted to live it. And that's admirable in its own right. But it's not quite the picture you sometimes get. So he was really interesting to read about, and those are two of them anyway, but really there's not a dull character in the book. This is one of the reasons I wrote it.
We could sit here and talk about the accomplishments of Joe Louis, who is one individual in the sport of boxing that I've always somewhat gravitated to, but the fact remains his accomplishments and his mark on the sport of boxing go way beyond the ring, and this is a part in the book that I have yet to get to, Paul, but I'm definitely excited to get into the Joe Louis section of things here in the book once again, The Boxing Kings, When American Heavyweights Ruled the Ring. Joe Louis' mark on American history in general cannot be overlooked, and so I'm sure he was just a fascinating character as well.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, Lewis, I always admired Lewis, but working on this book, it just deepened my admiration for him and my affection for him, really. He'd always been a giant figure, and you know, I never had anything bad to say or think about him, but delving in, I just came out with a renewed appreciation for what he faced. You know, a lot of the same kinds of things Johnson faced with the racism, the kind of right in the newspaper stories, a lot of the same stuff, and yet the way he handled himself was just remarkable, with just remarkable calm and dignity and steadfastness, and he was able to win over so many people, white fans and white Americans who finally, got the memo that blacks are Americans too, and there's no reason to root against someone in the ring just because their skin color is different. I mean, Joe Lewis persuaded untold numbers of people to think differently about those things, and I do say in the book that, in my view, he is the most important American. He's the most important athlete in American history. I really believe that. If you consider, he won the heavyweight championship in 1937, which is 10 years before Jackie Robinson started playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers and integrated the major leagues. And we all know about Jackie Robinson. He's justly celebrated. But Jackie Robinson said on that day that he took the field that if it wasn't for Joe Lewis, you know, this day may never have come. And I think Joe Lewis's contribution, a really just hugely positive contribution to race relations and social progress in the United States is overlooked.
In your opinion, when we talk about Joe Lewis and the racial relations here in this country, how important was the two fights with Max Schmeling in that regard, two racial relations here in the country? Did that play a factor at all, at least in what you've been able to gather?
Yes, it did. A very big factor because Schmeling, he was being embraced in Germany by Hitler and Goebbels and the rest of them in the Third Reich. And, that's a whole side subject there, which we don't have to get into, but the whole thing with Schmeling and how wholeheartedly was he welcoming and embracing the Nazis' celebration of him. A lot of debate about that goes on to today. Schmeling refused to join the Nazi Party, and he had other defiant acts that seemed to suggest that he did not share these views, but he was in a very unique situation, a very difficult situation in many respects. So he was, rightly or wrongly, he was being celebrated by the Germans as an example of the master race, and he defeated Joe Lewis in their first fight in 1936, which gave them more grist for the mill to show that the Aryan race was superior. And of course, he'd beaten a black fighter, and they saw blacks as inferior. So he was just became a completely politically loaded fighter at that point, willingly or unwillingly. And when they went into the rematch, Lewis suddenly realized that millions and millions of Americans were rooting for him. They wanted to see the American prevail over Max Schmeling. Millions of Jews, for obvious reasons, wanted to see Lewis win. But what really became kind of one of history's surprises is that millions of whites started to root for him as well against this opponent of white European background. And that's a major transitional moment, and it was ultimately the national identity about being an American. That's what got through to people, and Joe Lewis helped do that. So he knocked out Schmeling in 2 minutes of the first round, so it's the greatest victory of his career. And that was kind of a crucial turning point in getting people to see Lewis differently. And what then went further than that a couple years later is when World War II broke out and Lewis enlisted in the Army and served in the armed forces and with great distinction. He wasn't in combat, but he traveled around, boxed exhibitions, and traveled from base to base all around the world, and famously said, "We'll win this war because we're on God's side." By the time the war was over, by the time Joe Lewis's career was over, millions of white Americans looked at sports a little differently than they had before he came along.
Paul, we have plenty more to talk about. I do have to break for a quick commercial pause. Do you have time to hang with us for one more segment?
Sure do.
Perfect. We have more coming up with Paul Betson, author of the new book, The Boxing Kings, When American Heavyweights Ruled the Ring, back after this.